Our scripture reading today is from the second chapter of Luke, verses 8 through 20. You can follow along in your Bibles, or if you'd like one, we'd love to provide you with one. Just raise your hand and we'll see that you have one. And the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. To you, he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Heaven and earth, peace to those whom favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned to glorify and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Rich. So we have been in a series called Awkward Family Christmas. And hopefully at some point, if not the entire series, you have thought to yourself, yes, I can relate to that. And we looked at our awkward family circumstances through the lens of the first Christmas, and saw that it wasn't this front cover picture that we often make it out to be. This cute, cuddly baby, all cozy in its swaddling cloths and laying, sleeping soundly in a manger that is clean and tidy and quiet. It is actually a story that is filled with anxiety and hard circumstances. And the people in the story, their lives got flipped upside down as a result of it. There was the awkward invitation to the teenage girl pledged to be married. The awkward circumstance of her fiancé and his reputation as a result of sticking by her side. And the awkward gifts of the Magi. So if you were to give any of those gifts to a baby today, you would probably go to jail. Right? Like frankincense is essentially scented smoke. You don't give scented smoke to a baby. And myrrh was a spice used for embalming the dead. I'm sure that would be toxic to a baby, right? The first Christmas was riddled with awkward circumstances, but we know there was a redemptive purpose in all of it. And one of the things we hoped to challenge in this series is our honest assessment of what our expectations of Christmas are versus the reality. That we try to create these picture-perfect moments. We pour out every minute of our free time, our energy, our resources, our bank accounts to create these magical Christmases for our families. And still at the end, we find ourselves exhausted and battling a myriad of awkward situations. You know, we have this picture in our minds of family gatherings where everyone is happy and joyful, where everyone gets along, where everyone enjoys their gifts, and all the decorations are perfect, right? Every bulb outside of the house or on the tree is still lit on Christmas Day. None of the cookies were burned. Just a picture that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. But then that picture collides with life and family, and the reality is a little more chaotic, a little more messy, a little more awkward. But the good news is your reality is in good company because it is more in line with the first Christmas. So we're going to close this series today by talking about the awkward guests in the Christmas story, the people that show up unannounced. These are the ones that show up in our nativity scenes, and perhaps the most obvious one is who? The shepherds, right? We talked about the Magi last week. They were also unannounced, but we covered them last week. Now, if you don't know much about the social status of the shepherds, these guys were at the bottom, the very bottom. They were the social outcasts. How many of you remember standing outside on the playground at recess in a long line of classmates as teams were being selected to play a game? Yes, I was last too. Yeah. You know, the team captains would say, well, I picked Charlie, and the other one says, well, then I get Susie. And one by one, they go down the line picking every person except you. And you try not to let it matter, but deep down, it does. It does matter. And the shepherds were these guys. They were the last picked people of their world. They never expected to be chosen for anything important, especially not God's greatest moment in history. They weren't even allowed to worship in the temple because their job made them unclean, right? They're shepherds. So their job description is taking care of dirty, smelly animals, and a lot of them slept outside with their sheep, so they were dirty and smelly. So if you were to create a guest list of those who would attend the Savior's grand entrance, the moment he steps out of heaven onto earth and takes on flesh, would you suspect these guys to make the list? No. And our family gatherings are sometimes like this, right? The door opens and someone shows up that's not on the list. They didn't RSVP. They don't quite fit the vibe. And everyone silently wonders, who invited them? That was these guys. But God thought it was important to invite these shepherds. God put them at the top of the list. God doesn't choose the way the playground does. God intentionally picks the ones no one else does. Luke tells us the shepherds were doing the same thing they do every night, watching over their flocks. When heaven breaks through the sky, breaks into their ordinary, overlooked lives. An angel appears, glory shines all around, and what did the shepherds feel when they saw the angel? Fear, right? Like everyone else, the angel says to the shepherd, do not be afraid, right? Because the message from the angels was not one of judgment or exclusion, as the shepherds were so accustomed to. It was good news of great joy for all people. Not just the powerful, not just the affluential, not just the respectable and the clean, but for all people. God could have announced the birth of Jesus to kings, to scholars, to priests, but he didn't. Instead, God chose people who never would have expected the invitation. People who likely assumed that those holy moments were reserved for people much higher than them. The first Christmas teaches us something essential about the nature of God, and that is God sees those the world overlooks. God values those society dismisses. God draws near to those who assume they are too far out of reach. The first people invited to see the Savior were people who knew what it meant to live in the margins. And God didn't just tolerate their presence. He celebrated their presence. A family once shared that whenever they host a holiday meal, they always set one extra table, extra chair at the table. Not because they're expecting somebody, but because they never want someone to feel like there wasn't room for them if they unexpectedly showed up. And over the years, that chair got used more than they expected. A neighbor who had nowhere else to go, a college student who couldn't afford to travel home, a friend who showed up unannounced. And there was nothing special about the chair, but it sent a message before a word was ever spoken. You belong here. The manger was God's extra chair. There was no guest list. There was no reserved seating. There was no velvet rope. Just space made for whoever God wanted to invite, who God chose to invite. And the first ones to pull up a chair were not kings or priests, but shepherds. And that tells us something else. God's story has always been about reversing the norm. The last are first, the lowly are lifted, the forgotten are remembered. The shepherds weren't just a footnote in the Christmas story. They were proof of what kind of kingdom Jesus came to bring. And what's even more surprising is what happens next. After seeing the child, the shepherds don't go away quietly. They go and tell people about it. These men were not trusted by society, so they were largely ignored. They were not listened to, and yet they became the first evangelists to share the gospel. God entrusted the greatest news in history to the most unlikely messengers. And perhaps for the first time in their lives, people listen. Because when grace changes you, it gives you a voice. God doesn't just invite the awkward guests. He sends them out into the world. The shepherds, the awkward guests, challenge us to ask some uncomfortable, awkward questions. Who do we overlook? Who do we avoid? Who do we quietly exclude? And who would feel awkward walking into our church, walking into our homes, into our lives? If the first Christmas teaches us anything, it's this. If God made room for the shepherds, we don't get to close the door on anybody else. We don't get to close the door on those who don't fit into our mold, into our values, our expectations, our standards. If God made room for them, then guess what? To follow Jesus is to reflect the same regard God shows. To notice the unseen, to welcome the unexpected, and to make space for those who never think the invitation is meant for them. Because here's the truth. At some point, you and I were the awkward guests, right? We showed up unannounced. We showed up unworthy. We showed up unsure if we belong. And, you know, some of us may have not so readily felt those things, especially if we were fortunate enough to be raised in a loving church family. But I think for many of us, the story was the first time we walked into church, we wondered these very things. Am I too broken? Am I too much of a mess? And can I ever belong here? And yet God welcomed us anyway. If God chose the shepherds, then part of following Jesus is noticing who's still standing on the sideline and picking them first. So the challenge to us this week as we close in on Christmas is to intentionally notice, welcome, and invite someone who might otherwise be overlooked. Not as a project, not as a box to check, but to reflect the heart of God. Pay attention to the people who are often overseen, overlooked, the person who always sits alone, the neighbor no one talks to, the coworker everyone avoids, the family member who feels out of joint. And pray each day, God, open my eyes to see who you see. Take one small step that may feel uncomfortable but meaningful. Sit with someone new. Start a conversation you normally wouldn't. Invite them to coffee, to a meal, to worship. And say, I'm really glad that you're here. Tell them you belong here. And share the good news like the shepherds. The shepherds did not have a polished script or polished words, just a story that they had just seen. So this week, simply share how God has worked in your life and point them gently to Jesus. You don't need perfect words. You just need a willing heart. You never know what God might do through one unexpected invitation. Because sometimes the people we least expect are the very ones God is already calling. And sometimes when we're obedient, we become the angels announcing good news simply by making room for others. Let us pray. Gracious and welcoming God, on that first Christmas night, you chose not the powerful or the polished, but the overlooked and the ordinary to be the first witnesses of your Son. You sent angels to shepherds, unannounced, unlikely guests. And in doing so, you showed us that no one is beyond your notice and no one is outside your love. We thank you for the ways you have welcomed us when we felt unworthy, unsure, or out of place, for the times you met us in our fear and called us by name and invited us closer than we ever imagined. Forgive us, Lord, for the moments when we have closed doors that you meant to keep open. Forgive us for the assumptions we make, the people we overlook, and the welcome we withhold, sometimes without even realizing it. As we leave this place, shape our hearts to look more like yours. Give us eyes to see those in the margins, courage to extend the invitation, and humility to remember that we are all here by your grace and not by what we do. Make us people who reflect the light of the manger, people who create space, people who speak hope, people who share good news, not just with our words, but with our lives. Send us out like the shepherds, changed by what we have seen, bold in what we share, and joyful in the knowledge that your love is for all people. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the child in the manger, the Savior of the world, and the one who still welcomes us home. Amen.